This is the GNSO working session in Constellation Room on Sunday, October 12th, 2014. This next session is the GNSO meeting with the board from 1300 to 1430 local time. GNSO working session in Constellation Room on Sunday, October 12th, 2014. This session is the GNSO meeting with the board from 1300 to 1430 local time.
Thank you. Hi everyone, if I could call the room to order, if I could get everyone to take their seats at the table, please. Take your seats at the table and take any other conversations outside the room, please. We'll be starting the meeting in about 1 minute.
No, I'm good.
Right, everyone, if I could ask you to take your seats, welcome to our board member colleagues and GNSO councillors who are seated around this horseshoe. Welcome to everyone else who's in the room participating and attending the meeting. So if we could get ready to start the recording, please let me know. Thank you. So welcome again to our ICANN board colleagues. Welcome to the GNSO working sessions. I always get to this point on the weekend and feel like I've done a week's work. I don't know how you feel, probably similarly. It's good to have you here, Steve and colleagues. So I don't know if you'd like to make any remarks, Steve, and then we can start to look at the agenda.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, it's indeed a pleasure to be here. I've had for several years a feeling that by the time Monday afternoon comes around, my week is half over, and it's smooth sailing after that. So I understand and share your feelings about how much work has already taken place. On behalf of the board, let me tell you that we are pleased to be here. We always look forward to these engagements. We try to make these quite real, not just pro forma. So we like to dive directly into issues and have frank and earnest discussions and try to take decent enough notes so that we don't lose track of what was said and we follow up. Let me just add that I'm conscious that Marcus Coomer, your next appointee to the board is not here, and on his behalf, I'll just share that he said he had prior commitment that was a serious matter of family, a positive nature, and very gingerly asked me, you know, if it's okay. And for a very long time in my career, I realized that one of the important things is that we all survive the experience, and that family and health and other things take precedence even over the very weighty matters that we're involved in. So I know that he would prefer to be here, and apologizes for not being here, but he's a fast learner. He'll catch up. So with that, Jonathan, it's yours.
Steve, you've made me feel terrible. It's my 5-year-old daughter's birthday party today. Here I am in LA. Madness. Okay, so what we've done is we've prepared a set of topics, which the majority of which you've seen prior. There's a couple that have been added on, so it's no intention, and I don't think you'll find it any form of ambush. But just to we've really got it in three sections. The first is to just touch on some key areas of activity with a particular purpose. The second is to look at areas where we're actually actively in collaboration with you on various topics, and the third is just to flag up any other relevant areas for discussion. So if we could have the first slide up, and the purpose of this is, I mean, we could bore you to death, and there's no intention of doing so, of all sorts of bits and pieces of detail work in the GNSO, but these set of points were really put up here to highlight and obviously discuss if necessary and have any conversation around areas where there's a more strategic purpose to the work rather than the tactical run-of-the-mill policy work, and in particular where they sort of work, where the work goes outside of just the GNSO. And I think it sort of illustrates a broader awareness within the GNSO of the broader context and the need within the ICANN framework to collaborate and effectively cooperate within the SOs and ACs in ICANN. So I'll probably touch on the first couple and then let a couple of council colleagues pick up on 3, 4, and 5. So really just a couple of remarks on each, and feel free anyone to comment or provide input, or if you're aware of it or have questions about it or even criticisms over it, please feel free to highlight any comments on any of these items. As you may be aware, there was clearly the recommendations from the ATRT1 and followed up later for a requirement for more effective engagement of the GAC in GNSO policy. And we kicked off around a year ago a group known as the GAC GNSO Consultation Group. It's specifically called the consultation group to be something other than a standard working group or otherwise, and it's a mechanism by which we can actively explore effective both day-to-day cooperation and interaction between the GNSO and the GAC. And actually, I should introduce or reintroduce Mason Cole to you in his new role. Mason is now, as of this meeting, the newly appointed GNSO liaison to the GAC with the specific purpose of educating and informing the GAC and providing a face to the faceless emails and barrage of communication for which the GAC has said, hang on, we can't quite digest and process all of this in a reasonable way. And so Mason is that particular face of the GNSO. And he may well be known to some of you as a former council chair and active participant from the registrar stakeholder group.
Let me just comment that if you thought being a chair of the registrar stakeholder group was hard.
Steve, he's new in the job. Take it easy.
Just keep him for a week.
Exactly. So that's the GAC GNSO consultation group. Again, we're going to meet with the GAC this afternoon and we'll talk more with them in detail. We've got the cross-community working group, which is working to various cross-community working group efforts together. Together with the CCNSO, I should probably highlight, of course, the IANA stewardship transition CWG, which was initiated at least from within the GNSO and the CCNSO, but which has now got other SOs and ACs signed up to both charter and work on the group. There's also the territory naming, country and territory naming group. So there's active cross-community working group going on between us and the CCNSO. John, why don't I hand over you to make a couple of remarks on three then?
Sure, thank you, Jonathan. John Berard, councillor from the business constituency. It's pretty clear to anybody that's paying any attention that the proliferation of cross-community working groups is going to continue to proliferate. And rather than just have them spring up without any preparatory work or any guidance really as to how to what the decisions that they need to make or should make or can make ought to be, the affectionately named Cross-Community Working Group on Cross-Community Working Groups was formed. It has a fairly broad member participation, and we are working towards and will have a signpost on Wednesday afternoon working towards a set, creating some guide rails, not a specific set of requirements, but essentially a menu that would allow cross-community working groups, depending upon the issue that's driving them, and the energy, the SO or AC creating the energy that's leading to it, to effectively and quickly get up and going. So, with any luck, knock on wood, we'll be able to get some of that done pretty quickly.
Related point is clearly, and then this cascades, I suppose, as well out of the link with the new GTLD program, and the board members will be aware of some of the sort of tensions and issues that cascaded out of the balancing policy and implementation. That comes up in various ways, and in fact, we had an interesting meeting with the Global Domains Division this morning, mm-hmm. and talked with them about actually further integrating early insight into policy development and therefore implementation planning. I won't go into that now, but I think one of the co-chairs, great, Chuck, I see you here, of the Policy Implementation Working Group will give us a very brief update on.
Thanks, Jonathan. And I want to, first of all, note that the other co-chair is behind me on my left. Jay Scott, why don't you stand so that people that don't know you, most everybody knows you. We also have a couple of vice chairs that aren't present right here that I am aware of. The Policy and Implementation Working Group is one that is meeting weekly. We have a good core of 10 to 12 people from various groups in our community that are participating very constructively. We're hoping to have a first cut of our recommendations by the Marrakesh meeting for discussion and feedback. We've been working with the GDD as well, because they have some implementation frameworks, and we've been providing input and getting their perspectives. So I think we can all be optimistic that early next year we will start to see the results of the work that's been going on for quite a while. It's deliberate, not fast, but I think we're getting good cooperation and very constructive cooperation from broad sectors of the community.
Yeah, so clearly, thanks, Chuck. Clearly, that's an issue that percolated out of the execution of the new GTLD program, but ultimately it's a resilient issue that needs to be dealt with on an ongoing basis. Finally, on this set of topics, Brett, I don't know if you'll say a few words on the discussion group on new GTLDs.
Yes, it was GNSO that created the current round of new top-level domains that started in 2012. We started that with a policy development process that worked through most of the 2000s. And we thought it was appropriate at this point to start a discussion group to come up with issues that we might want to bring back to the council for policy development processes. So, as you know, our policy development process starts with an issue report that is created by the ICANN staff. It comes back to the council. We look at it and decide whether a policy development process is appropriate. This is a pre-issue report discussion group, so it's sort of a new process that we've created. We thought that the the scope of possible issues was so broad that it would be unrealistic to ask staff to create an issue report on new top-level domains and future policies. So we are trying to collect issues that members of the community have. Our next step is to think about them and maybe categorize them and determine which ones might require future policy work, and then ultimately bring it back to staff and the council. So that's where we are.
And then to just supplement that point of Brett's, I mean, we had a good discussion with staff on, because staff is currently working on making sure that a series of GT, new GTLD program mandated reviews take place. But actually, the danger is that they do that work, we do this, and there's also the work going on in the policy implementation working group. So one of the themes that's come through is sort of knitting this together and making sure that this is done in a sort of in a coordinated and I think Akram used the word this morning that we were in lockstep. I'm not sure it'll be quite that sort of military or synthesized our coordination, but certainly we'll work together and try and figure it out. So let me pause here and say, you know, as I say, there's a specific reason for putting these five on the table, because they relate to either significant programs of activity and the issues that have come out of the new GTLD program and or cross-community stroke collaborative work of strategic importance outside of the GNSO. So any comments or questions or points relating to this from councillors or board members that anyone would like to make? Yes, Bruce, go ahead.
Just a quick one, partly a question for Brett on the discussion group. Are you finding that you're getting a broad enough membership of that group at this stage? Because I could easily see those that are interested in launching a next round of new GTLDs would potentially dominate that, and I'm just wondering how you're ensuring that you've got others that come from a different perspective.
Well, the people who don't want to see any more new TLDs ever are also present. So you have very interested parties, and so you have both of those. And you have people who went through the process before. Right now, and we've tried to make it easy for people to collect issues, and it's going to make it harder on ourselves to do the work later, but we've just asked them to, you know, sort of state the issues in bullet point form. And right now we've got close to 80 issues. And if you look at the... You look at what's there, you know, it looks fulsome to me, and we're going to take more input this week, and I think we've got a really nice collection, and I don't care who you are, you probably will see your issue up there, and we've not put a bar on putting the issue on the board. So, you know, if your issue is that new TLD should only launch on Wednesdays, you know, it's on the list, right? So we're trying to get everything.
Next.
Thank you. Ari speaking. I want to assure you that not everybody on that group is gung-ho on a next round. I think a fair number of us do want to see a full and appropriate review of everything that's gone on. I think there's also another element to this that hasn't quite come out yet. One of the things people like me have said is that there is a mismatch between the policy we put out in the GNSO and the implementation that the AGB gave us. One of the answers that we got was that, well, you weren't specific enough. And now we thought we had been, because we did a lot of exercises with the then staff that was going to implement it to try and sort all these things out, but they didn't end up in the writing. And so I think that before any other new GTLD round comes, it's to look at those principles, to look at those recommendations, to see where some of us believe that they were totally missed, where some of them see that, no, it's an interpretation that went wrong, and to make sure that any other policy that comes out for another round has the degree of down to nuts and bolts specificity that we need to prevent another, oh, but you didn't quite say that type of explanation or set of explanations. So thanks.
Thanks, Avery. I've got Ray next.
Avery, I am in complete sympathy with you And I've been pushing for similar type things to occur in the board as far as getting that discussion going. And I would appreciate the time if we could get together offline and chat.
Let's go to the next slide then, please. So the purpose of this slide is to really highlight three areas where we are currently working with you in one or another way, or it's really there's two issues here that come up where we are actively working with you, and one which we recognize we might have to work with you on, which is item three. So I'm struggling to remember if we had people lined up to talk to either of these points. On the PDP on GTLD registration services, can someone remind me, or did I volunteer that I would simply myself? Is it? All right. So I mean, here what you know is Steve has proposed a board GNSO working group to try and deal with the fact that here we have a couple of unique things going on. We've got a board-initiated PDP, which is hitherto unprecedented, and we have a expert working group, which has been commissioned and completed its work, and again, something which is unprecedented. So the question is, how do we marry and manage these two, and while still retaining the integrity of the GNSO policy development process? And instead of leaping in with both feet, I think Steve has wisely suggested that a group of experienced people on both sides come together to just sort of tease out what might be the practical issues. So I guess what the purpose of this point is really just to highlight that that's going on. I think it's probably premature to discuss a lot or if anything at this stage on this, but to make sure that we're all aware. But that said, maybe someone's got a point they'd like to make in relation to this.
Let me say a word and then we can have time. What was the term that you used for the issue report or pre-issue?
It's a discussion group.
But there was a term of art that you were introducing for the pre-issue report or pre-PDP. The word pre was in there. I got that.
This is a prelude to the issue report. I don't know what I said, but it wasn't an official name. It's just something that came out of my mouth.
I liked it.
Okay.
It struck me that there was a similarity between what you were describing and what I view the process to be. I'm choosing my words carefully because I don't know that everybody else views the process the same, but at least in my mind. 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, November 2012, we kicked off a process to take a completely fresh look at the directory services structure and purposes and so forth. Everybody's familiar with that. The expert working group was constituted and delivered a very substantive and thoughtful report. As is the nature of these things, any group like that puts a lot of energy into it and then feels committed to it, very attached to it. And I'm sure that they're wondering why it's taken us so long to implement their great ideas. Meanwhile, outside of any group like that, people are saying, gee, that's interesting. Let's begin to think about it. As they read through it, we'll see things that will seem very strong and other things that may be questionable. The problem that we're wrestling with has been around for such a long time and has been through so many failed efforts that at least, again, speaking my own mind on this, that there is no question about the tension between doing it fast and doing it right. We have to be careful and do it right and not be driven by we want to get this done by next week or next month or next meeting or whatever. This will eventually wind up, I believe, in one or more PDPs. But before we say that we're ready for that process, we're going to go through this questioning and shaping and say, okay, well, now we have a proposal from the expert working group, what issues does that raise that need to be shaped and framed and examined and so forth? I can make up my own. You guys, I'm sure, can make a list. So the purpose of this group that's meeting now is to try to get our arms around what that set of issues are, not to do a design of the system, not to redo the work of the expert working group at all, but to step up a level and say, anticipate what are the main threads that are going to have to be explored, and then come up with a sensible recommendation for what it will take to move this forward without proceeding in an inappropriately narrow sense of, you know, it's all done, just implement this on the one extreme, or, well, let's start over and find the right ground in the middle. So I'm actually looking forward to that very much. I think we have the meeting of representatives from GNSO and from the board scheduled Wednesday. Finding a slot has been challenging, but I think we found it. So late Wednesday afternoon. And with that, this is a very live topic, obviously very important, and we want to proceed in a deliberate fashion. And I think this is not necessarily this session here, but this period of time is the right time to raise all kinds of issues, and we'll sort of get them filtered out. There's been a public comment period, so we've had the normal round of all that. A lot of issues have been raised. But the floor, I think, remains open on this, and the group hasn't met yet, hasn't gotten organized, but I was quite impressed with the set of names that were forwarded, frankly. I mean, I know most of the people who were chosen, and each one is remarkably strong in his or her own right, and as a group, I think it'll be fantastic. And we have quite a lot of interest on the board side as well.
Go ahead, Avery.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that this effort, because I know that personally sitting there and looking at a PDP interrupted that was the purpose of who is has now really changed in its nature, or perhaps has changed in its nature. So this stepping back and looking at it and figuring out what is the correct PDP, or as you say, PDPs to proceed with, is very much appreciated. I tend to be one that thinks it drops all the way back to defining our issues and going with comments again, but that will be hashed out in the group. But the fact is that we take, over the last 2 years, the subject has evolved, partially because of the work that the EWG did, partially because the world has moved on in terms of realizing the importance of privacy and other issues, that the fact that we step back now and sort of figure out, okay, what is it we actually need to develop policies on, is very much appreciated.
And for those who don't know, Avery is one of the people on serving on the GNSO side of this.
Thanks. I've got Volker next.
Yes, thanks, Steve. I'm very much reassured by the cautious approach that is being taken by looking at this report and how to implement a new WHOIS structure, or directory services structure, I think is the right word. No, the key facet here is that this has to be done right, and doing it slowly, doing it deliberately, is the right way to go about it, because there probably will not be a redoing of any work in the WHOIS directory services world for quite some time once this is done. One thing that I would like to stress is that you also consider that at the end, prior to implementation, you will add an additional step that would be that the end result that is proposed by the PDP or PDPs that are at the very end of this is analyzed under privacy law aspects of major jurisdictions around the world about the implications of the suggestions, and maybe if there is critical points, have a look again, because this is important.
Okay, are we done with that topic then? Is there any other comment or question related to that?
coming generally. As you may be aware, privacy was one of the most important focal points, and there was some range of opinions. I think that without any question at all, privacy will be one of the top level, won't be the only one, but it'll be one of the top level concerns. If I were going to do this, I could sketch out, you know, 3, 4, 5 top level points, and privacy would be absolutely included in that.
Just as a clarification, I think that privacy analysis within the ICANN community is very good, and I think that should be part of the deliberations, but at the end there should be an outside review, legal review about the implications, because there simply is not that much expertise within ICANN on the legal systems and legal privacy laws around the world, and that needs to be done because the implications this might have on the from a privacy aspect, legal aspects for those who have to implement this and who have to pass on the data, transfer the data, store the data, are going to be humongous for everyone. And there will be complaints afterwards, probably, and better be on the safe side here.
Let me jump in. This is a good cue where we can actually tease this apart a little bit. I don't think the choice is determining the privacy issues entirely within our own view versus getting an external opinion after the fact. I think the what you're calling external opinion has to be an intimate part of what happens, has to be part of the process, not an after-the-fact review. And otherwise, both extremes are going to fall apart. By the time the basic decisions and sense of direction is taken, we better have had and absorbed and taken into account and in a constructive and positive way that set of constraints, those sets of views and so forth that come from the expert opinion, that come from government representatives. Else we will run into trouble quickly after that. So I take your point, but it's not a you know, make sure you touch that base afterwards. That's got to be deeply embedded into the process.
Thanks, Steve. I've got Mike and then Erica.
Thanks, Joe. I was simply going to indicate more or less what Steve indicated. Privacy and legal compliance needs to be baked into the process. It's not an after-the-fact validation. It's trying to insert chocolate chips into the cookies once it's already baked. Give it up, throw it out. It's got to be into the process. It's got to permeate the process through every step. It can't be tested afterwards. And if you screw up, then you've got to start all over again.
Erica?
Yeah, I'm very much in agreement, but I think I like the point you made that we should look for outside expertise. It's such a complicated area. First of all, the privacy landscape is changing constantly, and in particular in relation to the internet environment and to the ICANN ecosystem, I think many areas are not totally well defined or understood yet. So it would be certainly good to have to work with outside experts, and maybe we need more than one, maybe because even opinions differ in this environment. I would totally agree, but I think Steve's idea as well is good to make it part of the process as early as possible and not to have it, as Mike said, tested afterwards. I would love to work on this one as well. Happy to support you all.
Good. David?
I think I made at the same meeting in London made the point that I think ICANN, both as a community and as an organisation, is lacking in the sort of deep capacity in dealing with privacy issues, and it's become very apparent that we are in that zone where we really need to. The RAA, I'm sure people have different feelings about the process, but the outcome. But it's certainly, I think we can all agree that there was an indication that we did not know enough about what we were doing in terms of privacy and how to deal with it. Our existing systems, it became clear to me that we need to interface with a with the government at a deeper level than the GAC, for example. We need to be talking directly with data protection commissioners and that sort of level. There are existing, and that many of us, I mean, I would certainly describe myself as a privacy enthusiast, but I don't have the deep understanding, and few of us do. I wouldn't say, certainly wouldn't say none, as I know Stephanie's in the room, but few of us have the deep understanding that we really need to, and we need to get people. There are organisations of privacy professionals that have certification and have well-understood processes, and we need to get more of that kind of people involved. If that means we need to take the direct route of, you know, of paying them to be involved, then that is certainly a good place to start.
Thank you, Jonathan. I would like to reinforce what Erica was saying and what Dave is saying now. Is this an important issue, and it's evolving as in this precise moment, you know, in many countries in the world, you know, these legislations are evolving in terms of how to adapt to the new digital reality. So I agree that we perhaps don't have the expertise inside ICANN to deal with every particular legislation or legal tradition. So expert analysis, I think, is more than necessary to deal with this issue, and that is going to be an important part of our duties in the future. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Seems like a theme's emerged, certainly. Volker?
Maybe just one addition. Personally, I have discussed privacy issues within ICANN quite substantially with German local law enforcement and data protection officials, and on a federal and on a state level. And the thing that I always hear when I ask them to get involved is that they simply do not have the capacity to participate in such long-winded policy-making processes. And their only option is to look at something once it's done and then comment on that. So that's what I meant, to have a final analysis at the end to review this again. But, of course, it has to be part of the process as well. But some of the participants who may have valuable additions and valuable comments and things that might have been forgotten or fallen under the table will not be able to participate all the time, and therefore a final review might be necessary.
Okay. So I think we'll draw a line under that. I suppose that the point of these three, just to remind us, I mean, in each case there's been what I would consider effective interaction between the board and the GNSO/GNSO Council. And so in a way for me that's very gratifying, because we set out as a council an objective to be more effective, which is what the previous slide said, as a participant within the SO and AC landscape, and in addition with other key groups such as yourselves. So, you know, we've had Steve reach out to us on item one and initiate the prospect of a board GNSO group. We've had on item two Chris and colleagues doing significant legwork to try and bridge the various gaps and issues, and I know it causes some concern about in various quarters about due process and how are we doing things, but I think we're navigating a very careful line there between the sort of shuttling between the exchanges of information and trying to still stick within the processes and procedures that we've got available to us. And then on item three, we had George come and talk to us at a council meeting, which was very helpful to illustrate, you know, his insights into what had gone on there. So I won't preempt what Thomas, you might like to say about item two, but I just wanted to flag that that's the theme of these topics, and it's gratifying to see that there is a, you know, there's a willingness and an ability, and we appreciate that and would like to encourage that kind of working together when it's appropriate. Thomas, do you want to say something about item two?
Yes, very briefly, particularly for those that are with us that haven't followed the subject as closely as we did over the last couple of months. As you might recall, the GNSO Council has unanimously adopted a set of resolutions last year with respect to IGO and INGO identifiers and respective
protection mechanisms. We have subsequently been asked by the NGPC to revisit some of the recommendations that the GNSO Council made at the time. And there is a possibility for the Council to do that. There is so-called Section 16 of our operating principles, which allows for changes or for having amendments to GNSO resolutions. And we are currently liaising with the NGPC to find out what exactly there is that the Council is asked to look into, because we have a situation where the GNSO Council has produced policy recommendations, and two of those recommendations are conflicting with existing GAC advice. And the NGPC is working hard to get these frictions reconciled. And subsequently, we have sent a letter to the NGPC asking them for information about how they wish to proceed. And this is basically where we would like to ask you for input. And then there's a second action line, which also stems from the original resolutions, because one of those resolutions said that we need to look at opening up or altering or maybe creating a new curative protection mechanisms for IGO and INGO identifiers. And that PDP is underway. So that's a work in progress, and everybody that who's interested in that is certainly welcome to join this this working group, which is co-chaired by Petta and Phil Corwin. And so that's underway. So there's nothing that the Council needs to do with that at this stage. But I guess the question that we are hoping for some insight from the NGPC or the ICANN board is the first one, which is what exactly are your plans to reconcile the friction between GAC advice and GNSO policy recommendations?
So we're not necessarily expecting that answer right now, right? I mean, just to be clear.
But that's the status where we are with things.
That's the issue. Phil, and then anyone
else? Yes. Good afternoon. Phil Corwin, member of the business constituency. And as Thomas noted, I am co-chair of the new working group on looking at whether the concerns of IGOs and INGOs can be accommodated by the current right protection mechanisms or whether we need a new curative rights process. Petter Rinford is the other co-chair. I'm happy to report we're making very good progress on that working group. We've divided into three subgroups, and we've gotten pretty far along the way with enough participants to do that. We're getting excellent staff support from Mary Wong and Steve Chan and others. We do have one concern, which is that while we have good participation from the community, we have no participation from IGOs or from the GAC, and it was the GAC who asked for this working group, and we're trying to find ways to get them to participate. We understand the sensitivity of this issue, and we don't want to turn out a report and recommendations and then have the GAC or IGO say you didn't consider our point of view when they didn't participate in the group. So we're wrestling with that issue, but we are making good progress. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Chris?
Thank you, Jonathan. I've been sitting here trying to think about how to say some stuff in the sort of in a polite way. Or diplomatic way. So I met with some of the staff, and Bill Graham and I met with the IGO and some representatives of the GAC yesterday, I think. And we agreed that. So first of all, we explained to them about the process, and we explained that basically what we have here is, you know, exactly the way that Thomas put it, and explained all of that. And I told them that effectively, you know, it wouldn't be. You may agree in principle to make the change to your policy recommendation, but you wouldn't. You need to know what that change is. That change is going to be successful. Otherwise, there's no point in making the change. So we've agreed with them that very quickly they will nominate a very small number, because part of the problem here has been there's an ever-changing feast of IGO involvement in this discussion, and it varies from moment to moment. So they've agreed that they will nominate, that Jay Posnell from the UN will nominate a very small group, and we will work very quickly on the top piece, the TMCH piece, to come up with something that is acceptable to them and then come to you and say, okay, now let's talk about this. Are there any red flags in here for you? And then we'll go from there. So we'll shuttle backwards and forwards on that relatively quickly. And in respect to the second piece, thank you. I will, with pleasure, encourage some volunteers from the IGO community and a rep or two from the GAC to get involved. The problem is, and this is where I need to be diplomatic, that some of them would suggest that their previous experiences have not been optimal. Now, that's their own personal opinion of being involved in a policy development process, and I have no comment to make about that because I wasn't involved. But there are egos involved here, and there are all sorts of things. So we need to be very careful. But what we did agree yesterday also was that we would work again as quickly as possible to provide into your policy or working group or whatever it is some guidelines on what it is that they are looking for. I don't think they have a particular bandwagon about it being a separate piece, whether it's, you know, a separate process or other. I think we all know what their problems are. They can't use it at the moment. If we can fix that, that's great. So we're there to help as much as we can. And I'm encouraged by the tone of the meeting that we had yesterday that we may actually be moving forwards.
Well, I'm pleased you encouraged, Chris. That's great to hear. And I mean, in one sense, the frustration is, and to the point about, for example, participation in working groups and so on, we've heard this before and know it well. And in many senses, that is what the objective of the GAC GNSO consultation group is all about, is to try and figure out, well, if that doesn't work for the GAC, what does? How do we work effectively together and manage that? Unfortunately, we've got this test case, which is not, well, this legacy case, if you like, rather than a test case, and it's this that hangs around all of us, and it would be better to be looking ahead as to future, as yet unstarted PDPs, or at least in much earlier phases that weren't so laden with historic zigzags. And so somehow or another we've got to manage our relationship with this existing problem and yet at the same time work in good faith to deal with future issues. Petter?
Thank you. Just wanted to add, Petter Infort, I'm the co-chair of the group. Maybe if they state that they cannot officially participate continuously in a working group, One, so to speak, diplomatic possibility could be at least to have them participating in a way that we could question and get inputs continuously, so that we can have at least an early reply and an indication on their views on these topics. Thanks.
Chris is going to come back in and then David.
Thank you. Thank you, Petter. That's actually a really good idea. What I might do is, I mean, I will encourage them to join, but what I might do is ask them if they could provide us with a small group that you could use as a reference group that you could reach out to and ask questions of and get responses to. And that would probably be an advantage of them being able to make sure that the right people are in the group. Thank you.
So before we go to David, this is in effect a very helpful warm-up, because we are going to move after this to go and meet with the GAC, and I very much expect that this will be something they want to talk about. So I hope that anyone who has participated in this discussion will contribute to that as appropriate, you know, when we go through to meet with the GAC. David?
Yeah, I just wanted to say the idea that we will have a small group from the GAC willing to sort of discuss this in detail is sort of very promising. We're part of the GAC GNSO coordination group is to encourage that sort of thing near the start of the process instead of somewhere after the end. We certainly are trying very hard to find as many ways as we can for GAC representatives to offer early input into our processes, and this curative rights mechanism will be a very important test case, I think, for us, and we're all quite hopeful that it will turn out a lot better than the, the resolution will end up a lot cleaner than the previous IGO group. So I think we're all fairly positive about at this point for that one, and let's see how we go. But certainly the GAC GNSO coordination group is very focused, still active. We've made a number of suggestions and ways to improve the process, we're still very, very open to new suggestions and new ways in which to work together with the GAC, and perhaps encouraging the GAC to form this sort of small group or issue-based group may be something we should look at a bit more and pursue as for future areas of great GAC concern.
Okay, so that's actually, we've spent more time on that than I anticipated, but that's been a useful discussion. Any other comments or questions relating to that point? Great, thank you. I'm not sure there's a whole lot to say about point three, except to say that the report came out. Others may want to comment. The report came out. It certainly caused some reactions of various sorts. And the way in which this works in the GNSO is that this report will be taken in and digested by the various stakeholder groups and constituencies. That feedback will go into the public comment period. We've discussed this at the council level, and as I say, George, notwithstanding his attempts to recover from a recent health issue, was still very good to come and spend time with us going through this, so that was appreciated. And what the council decided to do was potentially respond, not necessarily, depends on what comes out of the stakeholder groups and constituencies, but in any event, to wait till the reply period, such that our response follows on from that of the stakeholder groups and constituencies rather than preempts or anticipates that. So that's really a kind of insight into the way in which we work as well, you know, notwithstanding individuals' responses to this particular report. So it's early for us as a council in terms of responding to this, although we are relatively well informed for the reasons I've described. So I don't know whether anyone would like to say anything more about this at this stage. I'll pause and leave it to either board members, members of that working group, or councillors, if anyone would like to say anything more, but it may not be necessary at this stage. Sebastian?
Yeah, I just want to be sure that you are very clear that it's not a board document. It's a working group who sent this for comments. We don't have done any discussion, any votes within the board to know if we agree or disagree, then it's really an open call. Then don't imagine that the board have this position or another position. It was not discussed within the board, just within this committee of the board.
Actually, I think that's a very helpful comment, thank you, because the impression, if you can imagine, and I'm not speaking for others, but if you can imagine reading, seeing something that is a board working group output for public comment, it would be very easy to think that that was a view of the board. So that's a helpful for comment to make. Right. Thomas, did you want to say something?
Will we get to the universal acceptance thing?
Yes. So we're probably done with those three points, apart from one more comment.
Yes, thanks, Jonathan. My name is Marilyn Cade. I guess I need to ask a clarifying question then. So let me see if I understand this. I'm a member of the community. A subgroup of the board did a report. It's sort of out there. It lays out a significant number of changes. It challenges a number of concepts that many of us really don't understand. And the answer we get is, well, the full board hasn't looked at it. And you boys and girls, since you have nothing else to do with your time, have to thoroughly study this, analyze it, critique it, defend why it's a good idea to make this substantive, extensive change or not. And oh, by the way, that's now, as opposed to after the formally scheduled review of the nominating committee. I don't feel that's very respectful of the burden of work that we all deal with. And I really appreciate that a subgroup of the board could come up with ideas, But when you put them out for public comment, you know, if you take this approach, you might think about having a feasibility discussion before you go to publishing something for public comment and transferring the burden of work onto the community. Just an idea here. I might be a little busy.
Avery?
Thank you. I feel that I'm possibly being too complimentary to the board and everything today, but I very much appreciate you having put this out. I know that I'm part of a stakeholder group that has been demanding various actions from the board for over a year to correct things that we thought were broken. Yes, and I'm actually very happy to see something where the board is actually thinking in terms of notions of equal footing. And such. A little amused to see it get bigger rather than smaller, but that's beside the point. But so I just wanted to tell you that while I will have comments on it and all sorts of things, I think the idea of the board working on an issue, coming up with a possible set of thoughts, floating them before it makes next steps is a good idea. And in terms of the timing, yeah, lots of stuff is going on, but we have been pushing on you for a couple years to solve this problem. So, hey, thanks for working on it.
There you have it, two slightly different opinions on the same subject.
Slightly.
Apparently they may even be diametric. Any other comments or points on that? Okay, so it is being digested in the stakeholder groups, and you've got some insight into how that might be going in some of them, and more to follow. We've picked up a couple of other areas for discussion. We've got technically half an hour more of this meeting. These are the two points. They're going to be introduced by two different GNSO councillors. I know you haven't. We haven't done you the courtesy of letting you see these before, but I don't think they're necessarily out of the blue. So hopefully you'll indulge us and be willing and able to talk through these two points. So first one over to you, Thomas.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'd like to talk a little bit about the issue of universal acceptance. You will remember that we flagged this earlier when we met at other ICANN meetings, but I'm not sure whether the board has a sense of urgency with this very subject. There was a JIC report which had included recommendations on universal acceptance, none of which, according to my memory, have really been operationalized. We've then seen a roadmap for universal acceptance that has been published by ICANN this summer, and this roadmap is very rich in words, but very poor in concrete actions. What does universal acceptance mean? It means that, you know, and these are cases that have been brought to my attention, somebody wants to register a domain name with a new gtld. They want to tweet about it, but Twitter wouldn't accept the syntax of the new gtld, so they wouldn't allow your desired domain name to be entered into a tweet. Now, you register your domain name. You're proud that you have it. You're a company. You look up your domain name, or at least you try to do so, and what the browser does is it returns search engine results, leading the visitor to the competitor's websites. So the browser software does not adequately process the new extensions because they don't recognize them as valid domain names. Some browsers wouldn't resolve them at all. Others require that you put in HTTP. Others would require yet different special treatment so that they would lead to a resolution. Or you want to send an email with your new domain name and it doesn't work. Or you want to buy something in an online shop, or you want to sign up to a social media platform, and in the contact form, it is not possible to use the new gtld because it doesn't work. And this issue does not only exist for internationalized domain names, it also exists for ASCII new gtlds. Why am I saying this? You might say, okay, some users might be facing issues, and universal acceptance is an issue that is not new. We have TLDs that are existing TLDs that are facing universal acceptance issues for more than a decade now. But I think that ICANN has assumed a certain responsibility with the launch of the new gTLD program. ICANN's mission is to provide for competition and choice. And if the message coming out of the new gTLD program is, yes, we made available new extensions to you, you can register them, but whether they're going to work, we don't know. Or maybe they're going to work. And I think during the evaluation, when we're being asked the question, have we provided for consumer choice, have we provided for competition, with the burden of universal acceptance not being satisfactorily resolved, I think the answer might be less enthusiastic than it otherwise would be. Now, you might say, and I know responses from ICANN when people suffering from universal acceptance issues have asked ICANN for help, when ICANN responded, well, that's something that you better take care of yourself. And I think that's not good enough. Although the resolution of the issue lies with the browser manufacturers and with the software industry, ICANN must reach out to those communities. ICANN must be seen to have a track record on trying to get this changed. If we just place this in the hands of others, I think people will claim, and rightfully so, that ICANN has not been globally inclusive with the new gTLD program. I think I should leave it here. I'm sure that Edmund or Cheng have more detail to provide on the IDN issues, but I wanted to flag this, and maybe ICANN is in a position to put more resources to this to ensure that these new extensions can actually be used.
Thanks, Thomas. I think you put that very clearly. Mike.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Thomas, for raising it. This is something that's occupied a number of us within the organization for a couple of years now. And until recently, it hasn't had a home, so it sat within the risk committee as having been identified as a risk, and a twofold risk, firstly within the IDN space, secondly within the new gTLD space. There is a program specifically looking at this. Staff are undertaking a certain amount of work, but also coming back to us in terms of what ICANN's role is, because we certainly acknowledge, as ICANN the corporation, that while we can't go out and force people to change their back-end software, we can't change databases that don't recognize new gTLDs. In fact, they sometimes even don't recognize ccTLDs that have been around for many years. Even some of the more recent gTLDs are not yet recognized by some back-end services. So this is not something that we can enforce. This is something that we have to work through and process. So at the moment, it's sitting within the risk committee, and the risk committee is not the appropriate space because we look at identifying and tracking risks. We don't look at mitigation measures. But seeing that it sits over there, we're looking for the appropriate home. And I think it's very useful that it's raised over here because I think this is certainly something that we could do with a lot more collaboration and cooperation with the GNSO and others. It's not simply an ICANN corporate role, but yes, we have a very significant role in terms of moving it forward.
Thanks, Mike. I've got a queue which includes David, Ray, and Edmund.
I also wanted to make the point that without wanting to take the focus away from universal acceptance and IDNs as a focus here, but there are other issues which also involve outreach to the browser and software developers that also do not have a good sort of forum or mechanism for looking at them. And for some security issues such as acceptance of DAIN and things would fall into that category. So There's both a very big, important policy issue here, but also a sort of structural, how do we deal with browser and software developers that need to, don't entirely overlap, but are both very important.
Thanks, Ray.
thanks, Jonathan. Moving to the IP address world, Every single regional internet registry has for decades said that one thing that we do not guarantee is the routability of the IP address we give to you. It's an upfront statement. And there are a number of factors that affect the routability of any IP address, and they all have to do with service providers, peering agreements, whether something's been blacklisted because of spam or some other abuse and then gets recycled later. And so this is a similar type of argument, a similar type of circumstance. And so the solutions have to be put into the proper place. The regional registries over the years have taken on this issue of non-routability, even though they don't guarantee it. And they have pointed to and have had discussions with regards to what influences could be or encouragements could be made to service providers and to the keepers and publishers of blacklists and so forth with regards to routability of IP addresses. So I would suggest that before we sit and lay the entire solution to this problem in the names world, which has just cropped up because now you are allocating more strings, that we really take a look at where the best pressure could be. And should ICANN stand and use its bully puppet in a place to say something? But I don't think that there should be any policy work or anything that goes down the path of making ICANN a guarantor of the universal acceptance of any name. They don't do it with IP addresses. They shouldn't do it with names.
Thanks, Ray. Just one quick remark. I mean, just think. I think Thomas made the point. I think it's not. It hasn't just popped up. It's been around for a number of years since.
I'm aware of it, but it's been exacerbated.
Agreed. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. I've got Edmund, and then Tony, and then go on.
Yeah, Edmund Chung here. So actually building off what Ray just said, I think a very important part is that, for example, yes, this is not an issue that ICANN as a corporation or ICANN as a community alone can solve. We have to go out and, you know, as Ray said, and in terms of the agreements, I think we do have those disclaimers in domain names as well, right up until to the registry agreement that ICANN signs with the registry, to the registry with the registrar with the registrant. So that part is actually not a big issue. But I do think this is an issue. Thomas mentioned consumer choice and competition, but even more so, consumer trust. It is a key aspect of consumer trust in terms of the DNS system, and that actually ties into a key aspect of what the JIG report actually said. So in terms of what Ray was mentioning, I do agree that this community and perhaps ICANN and the board should look at what we are doing in the IP space. For example, IPv6. I'm sure Fadi yourself and Steve yourself, when you speak publicly, you often bring up the issue of IPv6. What we're asking is speak about universal acceptance, especially on IDNs as well, and take it to that strategic level. That's sort of part of the recommendations from the JIG as well. And I'll end with. I've talked about this issue long and you know for a very long time. I'm glad that it's bringing up to a level. But I guess in one particular item, as Thomas was following up with Thomas, is the JIG report is very, I think, is a pretty precious report that both the GNSO Council and the CCNSO Council resolved to adopt and pass it over to the board. It's been quite some time now that it's been passed to the board. We haven't seen any discussion, adoption, or even rejection, or you know, go back and do some more stuff. What is the status with the JIG report? Is the board going to look at it, and you know, will the board resolve to adopt the recommendations? I guess this is a question.
So I've got a couple of responses directly to that. One is Steve, I think, and then Mike, and then we've got a queue. Okay,
I'll pass.
So straight to Mike, and then we've got a queue, which is Tony, Kuwait, and John, and then we'll probably draw a line under this topic.
Edmund, there is a document that was published for comment in terms of a plan around universal acceptance. There's been process. So, yes, it wasn't simply an adoption of JIG, but there is a work plan, there is work that's underway.
Edmund?
Just one note. I would just echo what Thomas said in terms of the difference there. There are some concrete recommendations which is not fully reflected in that plan, but I understand that plan. I think that plan is a great step forward, but still, it would be useful, I think, for the board to consider whether those recommendations should be accepted.
Was that in the public comment?
Okay, so I've got in my queue, then I've got Tony, Kuwe, and John.
Me?
Yes, Tony Harris, go ahead.
Try and get this up to my size. Well, first of all, I would like to say that this is an issue of particular interest to our constituency. By our constituency, I mean the ISPCP. We have for quite some time been featuring this in our discussions, in our newsletters, and we have actually participated intensely in two outreach events in the last 15 days, one in Mexico, which went, I think, extremely well, and where this was presented to members of the connectivity industry. And the other was in Nanog, where we had representatives in the Maryland event who survived all the rocks thrown at them and managed to at least speak about this to a very technical and very opinionated community. I don't think at this stage of the game, with new TLDs already operational and having problems, we should be thinking about who's going to solve it. I think we all have to solve it. I think we have to cooperate. I think we have to work together. I don't think that the ISP community can do this alone, because it's not strictly a network problem. It's a problem that goes out to software developers, and I don't think it's just browser developers. What about all these young guys with long hair who develop apps for cell phones? I mean, I know that the cell phone companies and the cell phone manufacturers have clubs of developers with thousands of these young people looking for a hit. And what are they developing? Are they doing any addressing parameters in their developments? I'm not a technician, but I'm just sort of inventing the words for this. But the message is, and now I won't speak for my constituency because this would be personal, but from the Latin American community, and I mean ISP providers, internet exchanges, and our federation in Latin America for the internet, I can commit to say that we want to help with this. We want to work with people. We're not asking anybody to do all this. We want to be part of it. Just tell us how we can help. And finally, I will say that I will be a registry as from next Thursday for my .lat string, finally. So I have a selfish interest in this also. Thank you.
Congratulations. Kuwe.
I agree with what is Tony is saying. You know, I think it's let's back to the very early days when the number organization, they're facing the IPv6 issues. I think in almost every RR meetings, they all try to invite the developer, including the Google, Microsoft, Apple, whatever, all those company to discuss about IPv4 and IPv6 and what is the situation for that. And also, that is I remember that is so many different kind of panel discussions, and the RR community going to asking what is the plan for Google and doing the IPv6, what is the plan for the Apple and other Microsoft doing the IPv6. I think I fully agree that universal acceptance of, is basically it's not only single party can do it. I think that is about the time, for all the stakeholders in the ICANN community. I think we need to work together, and actually we should, for example, like mentioned about the Twitter, we should invite the Twitter come here to ask them, what is your plan for the the new GTOD or IDN, and maybe I know it's the Google also is applied for that, and we can ask the Google what is their plan for the new GTOD and IDNs. And I think there might be we can make it faster to work together as a group, you know, as a community together, and to invite, you know, I think the Google, Facebook, you know, at least they can list the top 10 or top 20 of the major application provider and ask them what their plan will be. I think there might be at least one thing we can do. So hopefully, you know, this is not only to the ICANN Corporation, also, you know, including all the community, you know, the GNSO, even the CCNSO, everybody, and ask the application developer to come here and, you know, we ask what their plan will be.
Thanks, Kuwei. I'm just going to remind everyone that we've got 10 minutes to go, and I'm going to be in trouble if we don't deal with that last point as well. So I've got a list which includes John, Mike, Ching, and Ram, and then if I could encourage you to be as brief as possible so we do get to cover this last bullet and not delay the board going to the next meeting. So John Berard.
Excuse me, John Berard from the business constituency. I do think that with the proliferation of new GTLDs that this question of universal acceptance presents itself almost as a bit of a bait and switch for ICANN. It's something that may not be our responsibility. It may not be our burden. But ICANN is in the perfect position to serve as the organizing influence to bring the right people to a single table and help foster solutions to these problems. I think that is a very public policy approach that could serve every registrant, not just those that are specifically affected by the universal acceptance problem.
Thanks, John. Mike?
Thank you. And apologies that I'm keeping on coming back to the mic. I think the comments that have been made are very useful, but standing in a circle and pointing fingers as to whose responsibility this is going to get us nowhere. Cyrus and his team have started the work. What I'm hearing is it's not moving fast enough and it may not be proactive enough. I would like to suggest that we bring Cyrus into the conversation because I don't want to commit anything on his behalf. We look at seeing how we can get some sort of ad hoc working group. I think the comment about getting the CCNSO involved as well is a good one. And let's try and get practical achievements rather than blaming who's not doing their job over here. Let's see what practically we can do. Kowei's got some ideas. Other people have got great ideas. There are a variety of contacts. So I'm going to suggest we bring Cyrus in. We communicate through you, Jonathan, if you don't mind. And we try and either this week organize an initial meeting of an interested ad hoc working group, or we do it shortly after this meeting by call, and we see if we can get this process going.
Great idea. So, go ahead, Ching.
Yes, very quickly, Ching Chiao from the Registry Stakeholder Group, and building on what actually Edmund was saying, that you know, the community here, I mean, if not many, I mean, some of us here is feeling that the JIG report, you know, has been there for some times. Three issues: the one character IDN was turned down. The IDN variant, we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, so that's good. But still, we're seeing this. I mean, it's taking places. I mean, the community is actually watching the progress. So we're asking. I mean, we're glad that you know, we are hearing at the board level. It's really looking into the universal. The acceptance part. So fully agree what Mike has just said. Thank you.
Thanks, Ching. And Rami, you've got the last word on this one.
Thank you. One of the problems, I think, that has happened here is once the GNSO, CCNSO, the councils, you know, got together, ratified the JIG report and submitted that into the board, I think it lost a chaperone. And I think as a result, what happened was inside of the board, the recommendations, things like that, I don't think it really has had a chaperone. And I think that is part of the problem, part of the things that we have to fix. Now, what we're trying to do on the board now is start to build a tracking list, start to look at the advice that has come in, and start to look at how to respond to the various pieces of advice. So this is something, there is learning here. But in my opinion, the JIG report and what's happened to pieces of the advice that have come here is that I think it got lost along the way. The other comment I wanted to make was about what you've been saying about, does the board recognize that this is urgent and important? The answer is yes. I have some concern about trying to show a response by putting together a bunch of people and talking some more about this or trying to put some concrete actions. I think there is a roadmap has been put out. There are public comments that have come through. In my perspective is the right step is to take that process and to work on improving that process rather than build another one on the fly. Thank you.
All right. Well, we will. Thanks for that. We will draw a line under it now. It's been a good discussion and some concrete suggestions, and we'll leave it there, I think, for now. This string confusion objection review mechanism, I think this was seeking an update. It was raised by Brian Winterfeld of the IPC, who I know isn't here. And Jen, I think you're going to pick up on this.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. Brian was planning to raise this point, but unfortunately he's ill, so he asked me to step in and raise it for him. We wanted to raise the issue of the perceived inconsistent string confusion objection expert determinations. I believe it was on the NGPC meeting agenda today. There were public comments and replies that were posted in April of this year. As you know, many constituencies and stakeholder groups in this room have commented on this issue. So we'd like to have an update from you specifically on how you receive the public comments and what the current status of this issue is.
Shireen, thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. The meeting is going to take place this afternoon, and it's on the agenda. We have looked at this various times, actually since last October, and looked at the public comments, evaluated the various mechanisms, review mechanisms, and backwards and forth. And I think now we're reaching a point where there is a resolution being put forward to the NGPC this afternoon about an action to be taken. So I don't want to preempt this, but the meeting is starting in about 5 minutes from now. Yeah.
Is that all that you can provide? There's no other details until the meeting occurs? Is that what you're saying?
I'd rather not, because we're going to have the discussion, hopefully vote on a resolution, so I'd rather keep it quiet, and you will know it very shortly afterwards, if that's okay.
Thanks, Shireen. There's a comment from Steve, a follow-on comment, I suspect.
On that topic, Steve Del Bianco with the business constituency. Shireen, you know that the business constituency has been very vocal about one aspect of this inconsistency, and that is the singular plural decisions, both in terms of the inconsistency and the inconceivable consequences that we've created. You were kind enough to reply after the London meeting, just as you promised. Thank you for your letter. And in your letter, you concluded that there wouldn't be a need for further action on the singular plural. And one of the rationales cited in your letter is that you note that there wasn't a significant number of objections on singular and plural filed by applicants. And while that's true, it completely misses the point. The parties the business constituency was concerned about weren't the applicants. As we said, at every turn, it was the registrants and the end users whose confusion and duplicate investments were the whole rationale behind us. And they didn't have standing to file a string confusing objection in the process that you're protecting and defending. So I think we were at cross purposes, and while I'm grateful for the reply, I do hope you'll think that over in the resolution that you consider today.
Thank you. Point taken. Thank you.
Okay, great. So we've satisfactorily worked our way through the agenda on time, which is wonderful, and we'll be able to get Shireen and colleagues off to their next meeting, as well as the rest of us. Cyrus just reminded me that there is an open session on universal acceptance on Wednesday, so that might be a good place to pick up some of the topics that have percolated through this discussion. It's been a great meeting. Thank you very much from my point of view. I mean, we covered the agenda, we've covered it on time, and we've talked through various of the issues with some substance. So that's great. Steve?
I think you've said it all, Jonathan. Thank you very much. As I said at the opening, we look for these interactions to be pretty substantive and direct. We're not disappointed. Yeah. Anyway, thank you. We look forward to doing this again and again and again and again. Time for a break.